Coming to you from Howard's on Main in Uptown Greenwood, it's the Lakeland Sports Guys podcast. Glad to have you along with us. Tom Carroll, Chris Cox, we've got the coach Stan Spivey in the house as well. It is a Monday, the 11th of March of 2024, and lots of action, man. All kinds of basketball fights, championships, and all kinds of stuff going on. And so we'll dive into that a little bit. We were going to have a coach on as well, and unfortunately, he had what I had evidently last week. So I apologize to everybody. We weren't on last week. Some girl named Corona decided to come and invade my house, and we all got sick from it. So needless to say, we're back doing better today in that regard. So good to see everybody here once again. It's good to see the sunshine once again on the process as well. So
we got to get you feeling better, man. You still look like you feel like I do, but I haven't had Corona, as you called her, she didn't stay at your house.
Well, hopefully she's gone, and I won't come. Don't come back anytime soon.
But yeah, it's a pretty day, man. Still cool. Still cool.
It is nice and cool. I like that aspect of it. We had our first frost, as a matter of fact. We didn't know when it was going to happen, and it ended up coming last night. So if you didn't cover your plants, we'll see if they survive or not. But I'm hoping that's going to be the last frost or freeze before the summer ends up coming so we can get into the springtime aspects.
Not so fast, man, because I can tell you it's not the last one because Masters is rolling around. And everybody's planting these flowers. He says, oh, yes, we're getting ready to bloom. And I promise you, I've been down there too many times to Augusta to where. Now, you won't see that in Augusta because they got the heat underneath them. Yep. They make sure they stay warm. But people in Augusta, they're like, why don't my azaleas bloom? Because you don't have the system they got at Augusta. Right?
You don't have the millions of dollars.
You don't have the system that Augusta National does have. So, but it's fun. You're starting to, like yesterday, my man beat your man in the golf tournament. Mm-hmm. Scotty Scheffler beat Zalatoris.
Zalatoris was leading
We're still pulling for Zalatoris. Don't get me wrong. I love the kid's only – he's as big as this pin.
Yeah.
So that's the reason we pull for him. I used to be about big myself. But Scotty Scheffler, first win in a year. So that sets him up to flourish, getting ready to go into the Masters. And then you got the big event this weekend at Sawgrass. You ever played it?
I have not.
I lost many balls on 17, so and I know that damn pigeon well. So he stole one of my partner's balls when it landed on there. So it's got to be the same one. It's this one naggy pigeon that takes the balls off and throws them into the water. But yeah, that tournament's coming out this week. That's like they call it the first major. And so yeah, you got that going on. You got basketball. We talk wrestling if you want. We talk fights if you want. We talk ice hockey if you want. If you want to. I'm going to be honest, Dan. I didn't know we had a team in Carolina. I really didn't.
I didn't either. Well, a club team.
And that's what it is. Yeah. But it's still a collegiate because it's NAIA, which we were playing with the little boys, as I say.
Right.
But, hey, national championship, we can put it with a question and some of the other ones that we don't usually claim anyway. But, yeah, when I saw that yesterday, Willie's the one that sent it to me about we won a national championship in hockey. I was like, what's he? He's got something better than I do.
You shouldn't think of South Carolina hockey. Those two do not go together.
Well, it's kind of like I saw where y'all won the big lacrosse match with Syracuse or somebody this weekend. You got rugby out there. I'm telling you, man, Title IX has really done a big industry to college sports because every sport that men have, the women get it too. And I like it. I like the way that they do it. And like I said, I just have to do a better job on what we got in Carolina and what we don't.
But Title IX is great. And unfortunately, right now, it's under a lot of scrutiny with what's going on with the transgender stuff. So
it is. That's why I took you there, by the way, because I knew I'd get a response out of you. Those hearings are going on this week, by the way. Those hearings,
Yeah.
So you'll be seeing that on the news and everything.
See what ends up happening. But, yeah, you know, and it was, you know, you got to protect women's sports all the way around regardless.
I agree.
And if you don't, then, you know, women's sports is meaningless at that point.
Yep.
It's kind of the way that a lot of people are feeling right now with the way that college football has gone with NIL and transfer portal and everything of that nature. And you know, it just doesn't seem fair.
No, like we were talking earlier, there's coaches that are mad about it, and they have a right to be mad, Tom, because you go out and you recruit and you spend so much time with families, and it gets to where like Justin Stepp, that was our wide receiver coach and best recruiter probably we had other than Torin Gray, who's still in Columbia, but he came out and said, just like Beamer did, it's hard to go to a house and say, hey, I look forward to coaching your son for 4 years, he's going to be my son. It's just feel that you give him, and you can't give it anymore because he may pull a Gunnar Stockton, and Gunnar probably had no intent on going to Georgia when he signed with the Gamecocks, but he did. The money was better. I still don't know how they outbidding us, Stan. How are they being outbid in the University of South Carolina? We got the money Alabama's got. Now, y'all can't outbid us. Now, we got
speaking of Alabama, you look at it, what Nick Saban said. Part of the reason he retired was because the kids were asking two questions. One, am I going to be able to play? Am I going to get playing time next year? And two, how much are you going to pay me?
And then you get on a plane flying to a game, and they walk up and sit down beside him and say, Coach, I want this much money or I'm not playing this game.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why you were in the air going to a game. I mean, come on.
I'd leave his butt there. You're not getting on my airplane.
Well, you can stay right here on this airplane. We'll come back when the game's over. And
see, I'm glad y'all have said it this way because I've taken criticism from all the parents and everything about how I feel about NILs. But I don't care what anything dictates. I look at NIL as a business deal. And they want to say, well, the university's made all this money. They should have made it. They're the ones that put the money out.
Yeah, they're the ones that put them.
You're a 17-year-old kid. I don't want to call him nothing bad, but 17, 18-year-old kid, he's done nothing but play high school football. He's been groomed to play the sports to make it to the next level, to earn a scholarship to get to the NFL. That's what kids are groomed to do these days. My dad, same way. He was an Alabama guy. Unfortunately, I wasn't a football player, really. I wasn't that good of a football player, but I still don't – you still work to the – you got to have a scholarship first because a parent don't have the money. Now, if they do like you say, you want an ideal, I'll give you one, but you're not getting a poor ride.
Yeah, you're going to pay for it.
You're going to pay for your year.
Well, down there on your check stub, we're going to take out the federal taxes, the state taxes, the Social Security, just like
your parents
everybody
pay.
Else.
Like your parents pay.
And then there's going to be another line. It's going to say scholarship, and then that scholarship's going to be room, board, tuition, and those – hotel rooms you stay at when you go on the road and those meals you eat and then fancy cafeterias when you go on the road, they're going to be deducted from that paycheck too.
Then they're going to start eating McDonald's again.
Yeah, here's part of the issue. And I just completed my taxes this weekend because I was sick and didn't have anything better to do. So I, double the sickness, I guess you would say in that regard. But with scholarships, those students have to claim those scholarships. So if you get a $12,000 scholarship every semester, you're looking at $24,000 for a course of a year that you have to claim as income in that possibility. So you got to pay taxes on that, let alone also pay taxes on the NIL stuff that you get in the process of all that.
Now, when that starts taking place and they have to start paying these said taxes, then we're going to wonder how many of y'all are going to be like, just give me the scholarship.
Yeah, exactly.
Just give me the scholarship. And I mean, that's kind of where we are right now. And, I mean, I still think of Sammy Brown. He's the guy I always think about because we never once really knew what he made in high school. And he's really the first NIL guy that I personally have heard
about.
I mean, that actually made NIL. This kid's going to be phenomenal at Clemson. Sammy Brown's going to be phenomenal, but – I mean, still, at 17 years old, was he worth $100,000 maybe? I'm just going to guess. But, I mean, was he worth that?
We know he was making $800 in high school.
Yeah. Well, and you're right.
$800 a month.
It was $1,800.
In high school.
Yeah.
So, he gets to Clemson. Well, we've been writing $5,000 checks to everybody else to come visit. Well, we're going to have to up that to make sure Sammy comes to see us.
Well, Sammy's going to get the $30,000 everybody else is getting now. Yeah, and plus Dabo's going to give
him. Plus they're going to be more money, and he hadn't played a down yet. And that's the problem I have with it.
B-Ray, what you going to pay Sammy Brown at Clemson? You know the monetary value. Now, that's my Clemson guy right there, my reporter from. I will promise you it's more than $30,000. He's going to be one of these. He's going to be, if he's not paid more than Spencer Rattler was being paid in Carolina, there's a problem. Because this kid's going to be 10 times the athlete that Spencer ever thought about being.
Thing is, though, is he's still an unproven quality at the collegiate level.
And that's the key.
And that's the key, I think.
And that's when you should be paid.
That's
why me and NL didn't get along.
You're going to have other freshmen that signed to come in the same day that he did.
Oh, yeah, you got
them. Taking the same courses and doing the same work on the field. They're not getting his kind of money. And this is where some kind of schedule's got to be set up so that everybody gets the same thing. And now that can increase over the 4 years that you stay there. But
that's like when the NIL girl was there and we were talking about, I'm more for the pay for performance as me. Mm-hmm. I'll give you the money, but you're going to come in and do the work first before I'm going to give you the money. I mean, that's kind of like me going out with an unsecured loan and saying, hey, man, I need $70,000. Who's going to give me that? Without a job. They're not. They're going to look at me and kick my tail right out that door and laugh as I walk out that door. I mean, you know, it's just, it's weird how they've got everything going. It's backwards in NIL and it's backwards in Portal. I personally don't mind Portal as much as he does. I don't think it's fair.
I'm not totally against the transfer portal, but I think once you make, I like the commitment aspect of you commit to a school, you have to uphold your commitment. What are we teaching them if in sports you can say, well, come sign with me and give them a bunch of money. They come, well, that the year's up. They didn't get a playing time they thought they were going to get, or they get ticked off about the color of their room wasn't the right color or something. So now we're going to transfer to another school.
That's why I'm painting. And, I'm painting
room. I don't like that aspect of it. Now, do I think a kid should be able to transfer? Sure. But not just on the whim. He's got to, you know, make him commit. And this, and the NCAA can do this. I mean, right now, every scholarship, I don't care who the player is, it's a one-year renewable. That's what it is, one-year renewable. You're not, when you sign on that dotted line, say, I'm going to Clemson, or I'm going to South Carolina, Georgia, you're getting a scholarship for 1 year. They don't have to renew your scholarship in the spring if they don't want to. So
you got to earn it. I'm getting what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, let's make the colleges stand up and be accountable too. If you're going to sign a kid, you say, here's a contract. I'm going to guarantee you 3 years of a college education. You can graduate in 3 years because of the way you're going to have to be on this campus because of your other obligations to the football team, Twiddlywinks team, whatever. You're going to be here during the summer. You're going to be taking classes during the summer. You're going to pass those classes because if you don't pass those classes, you will not be on this team. Yeah. There's rules and regulations guarding that. You say, you're committing to us for 3 years. They get to stay there for 3 years. After 3 years and they graduate, they can go anywhere they want to as far as I'm concerned. Because they've upheld their obligation to that school.
And they're doing it. Most of them are doing that. They're going as senior.
Well, basically what has happened is money
and
playing time is more important than winning is what it's come down to. And it's gone that way through life. You look at the NBA right now.
You don't look at it, man. I do.
Oh, you watch it. But, you know, I saw the comments that and being, you know, from Chicago and stuff, I've got friends up there. They are not big LeBron fans. When LeBron ended up saying that Michael Jordan wouldn't be able to even walk onto a court in today's day and age, is just laughable. In the fact that he would break a golden rule and that he wouldn't, you know, you can't average more than 30 points a game. You know, Michael Jordan had a will to win. He didn't care how much money you were earning. And that's part of the reason we got so many superstars. They don't want the wins. They want the money. So everybody's spreading it out, and they're not playing defense anymore. I mean, I can go on and on.
There's your
the
key.
NBA where
that's
is.
Where I want to stop you because Michael Jordan played defense.
Yeah.
He wanted the steals a game. He wanted the assist the games, and he got the points a game because he played as a team player. NBA is not like that. Luka Doncic is my man, of course, because I am a Maverick.
But. Yeah, but to say that Michael is not wouldn't be. I mean, he would wipe the floor with these guys right now.
He
wouldn't care. Well, he wouldn't care less if he averaged 40, 50
points. It's like Chris said, and he plays defense. Nobody wants to work anymore, and that's what defense is work. You have to work at playing defense.
See what they forgot. I'm not going to say they never knew it. They forgot because they played college. Playing defense. What's my word? Predicates the offensive point totals that come back into it. That's where the majority of the points come from. You got guys that are dedicated defenders on these teams that play, and they're not LeBron. They're the other guys walking around doing all the hard work, and he's getting whatever he gets. And that's just a little whiny kid for me. I'm not a LeBron guy. I don't care about his sons, what they do, and little Bronny at Southern Cal. And
well, Chicago's got a lot of stuff going on right now, and that just kind of added fuel to the fire they're going on for me, let alone what they're doing in trying to find and build a new stadium. That's another sore topic.
Well, you're still mad about that with the Bears.
We'll just go on with that. But all right, enough.
What was the owner's name there in Chicago? I forgot. He owned them all. He had the Blackhawks, the Bulls, and the Bears at one time. Well, he's dead now, I think.
Yeah,
I
Haas, think he died. Haas.
Haas.
Was it Haas?
Haas had all that.
Yeah, because I guess that's back then. But see, I've already taken you to ice hockey. We didn't even talk about women's basketball. I think they had a tournament this weekend, I think.
They have something basketball. Like that?
No, I think
there was three or four.
All right, well, let's start first and foremost. Keep it in the high school ranks as of right now. I got a reminder for you that they've got another in-service week coming up. I guess you would call what would a week be? A couple of weeks. But either way, the Vikings have a great way for kids to spend some time and get acquainted with some of the sports over there at Emerald High School. And they've got their sports academy that's going to be taking place. A variety of choices that you can go out there for student athletes. You'll get to experience some sports with all of the coaches out there, other athletes as well that'll be coming out that are currently on rosters out there, and the support staffs as well. So big mentoring opportunity, I guess you would say, in that regard. Learn some life skills, develop some activities, play a few games in the process.
Yeah.
But you can get more information about it. $25 a day, and you can pay by the day if you'd like. It includes breakfast and lunch. All you got to do is go to their website, emeraldathletics.com. You'll see the big Viking Sports Academy sign that is there, and then they got the QR code that's down there. Just scan that, and they'll give you more details.
It's like their summer camps. These are awesome because it also helps the parents that work regular jobs and they just don't have to really want to have to find a babysitter. Yeah. Put them in a school where they're going to be taken care of, and they're going to learn maybe a sport that they love and fall in love with.
Yeah, and so. You just look at how they spend the day. At 8 o'clock in the morning for the first hour is breakfast. From there, they go for 2 hours for their all-sports rotations. Then they got lunch from 11 to 12:30, 12:30 to 1. It's got the Viking Talk where they'll have an opportunity to hear some motivational speaking, get some character development done in that process there. 1:30 to 4, 1:45 is competition time, and then they get dismissed between 1:45 and 2 o'clock. So, I mean, you got a full day of all kinds of activity going on.
I'm going to check with coaches to see if I can come to that. Because we love the coaches out there. Man,
During the football season, I went over there when Coach was in the process of all that. I had to call him out of the sports academy camp in order to come talk to us for about 15 minutes. But all in all, he says, I got to get back.
So but coaches enjoy it as much to the kids.
They do. The coaches enjoy it as much as the kids do.
Yep.
For all that. Also over at Emerald, they've got the big Booster Club Outback Dinner fundraiser that's going on. That's going to be coming up, I think, on the 29th of March. It'll be at the Outback Steakhouse. Basically, they're going to take the whole restaurant and see how many folks they can get in there. $25 a ticket for a steak or chicken dinner. You get a choice of potato and vegetable and a drink in the process. And it's available to all athletes, parents, and stakeholders in support of Emerald High School. It's kind of a great opportunity. So if you'd like to get part of all that, great night, date night as well.
Paint it purple, man. Paint it purple.
Yeah, it should be fun. Get out there and sound the horn.
Sound it.
With all that. Speaking of which, golf is in the process, and I'm going to tell you, Greenwood High is doing very well in golf. Emerald right now is a little on the downside, but they're getting better as the games have gone on over and over again. But the Emerald Vikings, they fell to 96 last week, 188 to 191, so they came that close.
Three shots.
Just right there. But Ben Lawrence, Bo Lawrence, I'm sorry, he had, 43? And then Logan Epley shot a 45. Anthony Lipp had a 47. Caden Parker had a 56. And Landon Cole had a 56 as well. Their next match is today. After school, BHP will be their opponent at the Pine Lakes Golf Course.
Fun course.
I've never been to that one either.
You've ridden by it. It's right by the Jockey Lot. So, in Anderson. So, I didn't know BHP played there. But anyway, it must be a Anderson tournament. But, yeah, I mean, some of those kids, matter of fact, you call, I think, the granddad's name when you said the Lawrence kid. But really good team. The girls' team is where it's at Emerald. That girls' team has been phenomenal for the last couple of years, and they seem to be really solid this year. So,
looking forward to that. But, golf, we don't talk about it a lot. I guess we need to get these guys on a little bit more. But even at Lander, you look at what they've done with Coach Riddle and what he's been able to do that's there. I mean, golf has been a successful sport for a lot of athletes in the Lakelands.
And so that's where I always go with this deal about the Lander wrestling. Look what it's done to Lakeland's wrestling at the high schools, every high school here. Yeah. That's where it's going to pick up. It's going to be Mark Riddle and him picking it up and going to these other schools and getting it rolling like that, helping them get it going. We got some great golf coaches. Chip Whitty Green was phenomenal.
And been there for a while.
And Chip does a really good job doing it. And you're right, we need to get some of these kids on that do play. And because, like I said, anything with Emerald, I mean, Howard pretty much supports it and Greenwood. So, I mean, they probably would love to come in here and, you know, get on with us or whatever. Still got to set up something with Coach Baker since we had Coach Height and get something set up with him. I tried to watch them the other day on the YouTube thing, but it didn't come through. I lost my feed. I was trying to see how Knuckle was doing. But
see how it goes there. And then you've got, you know, women's soccer as well at the Lakelands level. And good things coming out of Greenwood High as well. They went on a big run this week, as did the softball team. Mm-hmm. You look at women's softball in and around, and I can sit here and look, because at the tournament for Greenwood High, when you go back and you look at the wins that ended up happening for Greenwood High girls softball, they beat, and I'll run this down for you, they ended up beating Dixie 13-0. They beat Spartanburg 6-2. Whitmire 12-2. They ended up tying Mid Carolina 5-5. They ended up beating Lawrence 16-1 in that. And then, of course, earlier at the beginning of last week, they ended up beating 96 in a really good game, 4-3. As a matter of fact, that game came down to the last inning, as a matter of fact. Greenwood ended up pulling out. All they needed was a hit from the number 4 slot girl. So
cleanup hit the shot. Yeah, I mean, not shot, but she hit the same game winning single in the game. So. Yeah, Coach, I mean, there's not many times Stan does. I don't really follow high school girls softball. I mean, not much, but I do know who the coach is out there at least. So, yeah, he's doing pretty well over there at Greenwood, and they're doing well at Emerald.
Yep.
Yeah, you look at it, though, I mean, you got three really good softball teams between 96, Greenwood, and Saluda as of right now. I mean,
your ponytails, by the way.
Those are ponytails that are down there.
I don't know if you've been watching that, following that. That's how they do it on the Saluda network. Whenever the JB girls play, that's how it's not Saluda Tigers, it's Saluda Ponytails. I think that's kind of funny that Campbell Burton and them are doing it that way, because, like I said, those kids became famous quick. And they're going to be good for a long time, Stan. Because that ponytails is still kicking.
They're young.
Their JV's in high school, and that varsity coach is probably just licking his lips, waiting on him to move up to them.
So. Well, you know who is Ty Vines over there waiting on those girls to come for a softball season here come May time.
Oh, they're looking for a coach, by the way, post 20. I saw that.
Well, they're looking for a JV coach. So. If you are interested in coaching the JV Legion post 20 baseball team, they are looking for a
It was pretty serious when T. Timmerman and Coach Vines and Coach Slack put it all out on the same day. I like, they're really actively trying to find somebody. But I like the way you coach. I like you said, if you know anybody, just call us and tell us their name. If we hadn't heard them, we'll have to look them up. But, I mean, I think that's pretty cool. And that shows the serious nature of post-20 baseball and softball in the Lakelands.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to seeing what ends up happening. I, you know, get the feeling right now that Greenwood's probably going to be a team to beat, 96 definitely, and Saluda in 2A. Those two will probably end up seeing each other somewhere down the line and in the playoffs as well, I would imagine. It'd be neat if they can make the championship.
Baseball's going to be interesting. Let's just leave it at it. Lakeland's baseball is going to be fun this year. Softball and baseball.
Yeah, I tell you, we had a blast Thursday night.
Oh, we did. Like I said, it was cold, but we had a blast.
Thursday before last, anyway, so. And all that. But, yeah, hopefully, we'll see where the Lakelands goes with a lot of the great things that are happening. Also need to make mention, too, in case you haven't heard, where Shoals went ahead and named the softball field. Any guesses on who the big name was last week?
It's Davis, but I don't remember the person.
I saw it, but I'm like Chris. Yeah.
Davis.
Miss Mickey Davis ended up being who they named the field after. She graduated there in 1960, went on to have a pretty good athletic career and coaching career with all kinds of honors that were there. But, was a softball-based basketball player in the process of all of that. But, congrats to her. She came over from California for a big ceremony last week as well. And when you look at what she did, she was a 6-time All-American and right now is a member of 10 Hall of Fames to go along with all that, not only as an amateur player but also as a professional softball player.
And what I like, Tom, is the fact they didn't wait. They didn't wait till she passed away to do this. They went ahead and did it while she was living. And I think the quote in the paper was, it does my heart good to be back in South Carolina, not only in South Carolina, but in Worth Shoals, South Carolina, because she does live on the West Coast. But what an honor for her, and just a great – I will get an index credit on that and Facebook and everybody else on getting that story out there. But great story, and like I said, I appreciate Worth Shoals doing it before somebody passes away and naming a field. You don't have to wait till then to do it.
But they're going to get some updates as well. They got a new scoreboard with Mickey Davis Field written on it, so that's good news that is there. And according to Faye Sproul, who's the district superintendent, she says they're working on new lights for the softball field as well.
So. Oh, Regal Field needs it, I can tell you that. Well, actually, that wouldn't be Regal. That would be the softball field.
Right,
but you know, just I'll tell her, just don't forget about that baseball field, because I played a lot of softball up there, and it's difficult at night to see. Up at the regular.
Well, all the lights line up with the football field out there in the outfield right now.
They do. And like I said, that's just a hard place to try to play a softball tournament at night. So, yeah, it's difficult. But like I said, any improvement that you – but that's another thing. You don't hear – you hear it out of Dixie and you hear it out of McCormick even. And I'm glad to see that 96 is finally realizing that we got to upkeep our stadiums. We got our fields. If we don't, we're not going to be able to use them. We got to start borrowing people's fields and stuff to play on, or play all the away games. And these are needed. I don't know where the money's been, or if it ever was there where it shows, but they never really put it into the stadiums that I know of. So I mean,
well, they're just upgrading. I think it's been what?
It's been 10 years.
At least 10 years ago, the high school league came out and mandated that you couldn't start softball, baseball, soccer, some other spring sports till a certain time. And that was, they were having so many athletes that were having to get out of school multiple days in a week to travel to other places to play games, and they had to get there and try to get a game in before it got dark. And so once the high school league put the rule in, then all of a sudden you started seeing booster clubs forking out money to put some lights on softball fields for the girls. And granted, they weren't the lights that they would put up on the football field, but at least they lit the field. Now they're having to go back and upgrade what they did at that point in time. And that's, you know, it's much needed. I mean, these females, they deserve the best playing conditions just like the men do. And most of the schools around here are doing it. You go by, you look at the baseball and the softball fields. These are well-manicured fields now. They're not just some grass thrown out and say, okay, go play.
Out on a cow pasture somewhere.
Yeah. They're taking better care of the fields.
Well, the last upgrade that they had out there had to be the press box, and that was what, back 2016, 2015, like that, somewhere in that neighborhood, in the process. That was the last major big upgrade that they had. So this is much needed, and I think we'll see it continue on, probably to the baseball field as well.
Yeah.
But like I said, that's one that they need to look at for real. Because that is part of your football field also. So,
yeah.
I mean, we'll see.
All right. Well, this is the part that you like most of all. We avoided it last week due to my sickness and my illness, and that was how many jobs are left for the head football coaching jobs in South Carolina? And there are 5 remaining as of today, and those 5 are Chesney, Louisville, also Rock Hill, Silver Bluff, and St. John's. So with that being 5 is the main reason that these two programs ended up getting new coaches. You look at Wade Hampton, they ended up hiring Reuben Wright as their new head coach. He was the defensive coordinator at Walton, Florida. Prior to that, he was at UCF, WCU. He was in Greenwood about 2016, I guess it was. Yep. He was with Greenwood as a defensive coordinator and assistant head coach under Dan Pippen. And then you also had he was at Carolina, Eastside, PC. He was there for a while. Blythewood, Seneca, Northwestern, and Greer.
He coached, man.
Greer, I think, is where I remember him most from.
He coached. I guess I sent you the name. I'm like, I don't remember this guy. So, but, yeah, I mean, that's a good job. I mean, the one that gets me now is Louisville because of the powerhouse that they are at their region. Football, they have been dynamite. And for that coach to leave that program, That's crazy.
Yeah, he went to Lou Goff Elgin.
He did. but that's my thing. I mean, he left it to go to a little bit higher regions, but he had a dynasty going at Louisville. I guess he just got tired of playing that level of football, too. And really good football coach, and I think he'll do wonders at Lou Goff Elgin.
Yeah. Marlboro County hired a new AD in Dan Quinn, and Dan Quinn went right out and said, you know what, I know who my new football coach is going to be, and that's going to be Corey Johnson, who was at Clinton, North Carolina. Also, I think those two have a relationship that they coach together as well, if I'm not mistaken, down around the AC Flora area and that group. I'll have to look and see. But prior to that, he coached at Scotland County, North Carolina, and Catawba College as well. So
he was up there, and like I said, I didn't realize, I don't know him as a coach, but I do know Quinn, because he was the guy that was coaching at North Augusta for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. That's who he is. So I you know, me and my CSRA ties, I went straight to Cam, and Cam's like, oh, yeah, that's Coach Quinn. I was like, I just want to make sure. He didn't have it in on there, but, yeah, that's Coach Quinn.
Well, and they got a good football coach as well. You look at Johnson, his six seasons at Clinton, North Carolina, he was 61-12. To go along with that, with a couple of championships under his belt in the process. So,
and you're starting to see
we may see
that.
The Bulldogs come back after
you,
all.
You certainly may. And, I mean, like I said, I absolutely love Quinn as the AD, because he said he got tired of coaching at a young age. But, he likes to act the AD.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's one of the ones that made some of the changes in North Augusta that I did like. And, you know, before everything else happened the way it did. But, like I said, Dan Quinn's going to do good things there, and I think they hired the right guy for that job.
All right. So they got May ends up being the spring practices for high school. So we'll see if these the last five end up opening up or closing up, I should say, and what else ends up opening up. That we'll keep an eye on and pass along to you.
I'm sure that I'll get home, and we're going to see it today. Has left. Now, I guess all the appeals are over with now.
All appeals are over with, and
so we're ready for football season.
We're ready for football season.
Well, we're ready for schedules to start coming out.
Yeah. Well, schedules are out. Schedules have been out.
They've been scarcely out, but, yeah, they have been out.
Well, they're in concrete now. They're getting the stamps now. So it's
I see one a day, and I'm like, man, these guys are about like us getting rosters from teams. They're like pulling teeth from a coach or something to get a schedule out. But and some of them have been – there's some schedules out there that really surprised me. I think I sent you a couple of them, and I was like, this is going to be a tough year for this team here. New coach and everything going on.
Well, you sent me South Florence or somebody over. No, I think it was Wilson you sent me. And they had
a new coach. And
new coach, and they had their non-region schedule was brutal with Sumter and Somerville. And
yeah. They're
I mean, it was just unreal.
And that's why Wilson keeps hiring the new coaches, because they play everybody. You know, that non-conference matters, Stan. You know, if you can go out and you go, you know, you're, what, 4-4 in your conference?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is. I mean, and you're 0-4 in your non-conference, and you behind the A-ball. You're going to barely finish at the 500 mark. And like I said, that's what's happened to them, because, like I said, they used to play, I think it was Sumter, West Florence.
South Florence. Everybody. Dillon,
and it's tough to – well, Dillon was the legendary. I think I sent you that schedule, too. And they've added the Huff team from North Carolina, and – like I said, these guys, they've learned from Chris Liner, I guess. But and Greenwood, there again, we'll go over their schedule, what, you know, next week or two, or and just put it out there for those
when we get
that
around the spring
it,
games and stuff. Yeah. We'll end up going through the process.
And we'll know a little bit more about it when it does hit. So, but like I said, they're out there. If you don't think they are, go look up your high school, and it's there. You got to look, but it's there.
If not, you can go to Facebook and go to the South Carolina Sports Group, and they'll have them all.
They'll have it. Or you can go to CSRA, or you can go to Sacramento High School League. I think that's the way a lot of these came out, was just going to the high
school league. Yeah. All right. We'll keep an eye on all that as it unfolds. Should be a lot of fun. But we are at Howard's on Main in Uptown Greenwood, and today was the cheeseburger special to go along with it. You can get cheeseburger and fries. I had the 52 again today, so wasn't quite up to
– You didn't get it last week, so you deserve two of them. You need one to take home. And Stan got his cheese, bacon cheese fries, he was happy.
He did. So I almost didn't have any bacon on it. I almost ruined that for him.
That's one thing I don't think Howard's going to run out of here to bacon. So.
But anyway, we want you to come on by. Check out Howard's Facebook page as well. Howard's on Main is the name of it, and they do a good job of keeping everything together. By the way, the local focal came out today, as a matter of fact.
Did you share it? Now, this is for July, the one that came out today, and I'm going to tell you, it's a who's who. I mean, and that's got to be close to Festival of Flowers or the barbecue.
Well, in July, it's a barbecue.
Yeah, so that's what it is. But, I mean, there, it was funny because when I went and spoke to Howard when you and I got here, Stan, they were, he and Roman were looking over, and I'm like, he's like, I don't know half of these people on there. They're going to be playing here. And that's a man pay the bills. So for them to be bringing new people in, Granger sent it to me, of course, today. And Carolina Ari's going to get it right back out there. But there's some big-time names. There's two of them that you definitely need to go look at. And like I said, it'll be on his page or Granger's or mine. So check them out, and you'll see what July holds. They're getting ready for it, Tom. It's going to be a big weekend.
Going to hold some great barbecue, I know that.
It is. And we'll get B-Rad in here because he knows all these bands probably. But, yeah, when Granger sent it, I looked at it, I was like, that's a who's who, man, in July, who's going to be playing at Howardsville, Maine.
Who's going to be
or downtown, let's just say downtown.
All right, well, let's take a look at the college scene and what's going on. Of course, we'll keep it local here. And big news and big congratulations to the Lady Blue Hose over there at Presbyterian College. They end up winning the Big South and did it soundly over Radford, 60-37 in that one. So that secured an automatic bid to the NCAAs for those young ladies.
Dancing.
Yep, they're going dancing.
PC's going dancing.
So, and PC women's basketball 20-14 to capture overall. They were they took down the third seed, the Radford Highlanders, in that final as well. And when you look at the you know how it basically happened, this was a team that just came out from the get go and just did not. I mean, didn't hit the brakes once. They made a coast here and there, but they didn't hit the brakes at all.
You know, one of those losses is to the Gamecocks. And it was one of those games that Stan and I probably would have thought would have been a 40-point game. It only ended up being, 30? It might have been 30 points. Might but 30. They played well enough against Carolina. They weren't going to win the game. But I'm kind of thinking that maybe a team we may see in the dance, depending on where they put us. It all depends on the seed. But
you know, in one aspect, I'd love to see PC go to Columbia, keep it in-state. But we all know the NCAA and this committee. And, you know, they're just as apt to send Penn State PC all the way out to Iowa or California or Texas or somewhere, which would be a crying shame. I mean, the people need to see this team play here in this state on the big stage and, you know, or at least closer by. You know, if you have to send them somewhere, maybe – one up into North Carolina to one of the other ACC schools or down into Georgia or Alabama, somewhere at least within a couple of 2 or 3 hours drive. If you're not going to send them to Columbia, keep them closer to home where the fans can support them.
Keep them out of the west and the northwest.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
keep them around. You got 2 or 3 states right here that – and there'll be sites in all 3 of these states that you could ship them to and – they can have a following. But you start putting them on the airplane, they're not going to have a whole lot of people following them.
This is a defensive basketball team, too. This is a team that can give somebody a fit because they play really good defense. And they can score, so.
Well, you look at some of the notable things that happened to them. Not only is this the first time that they're going to the big dance and winning the Big South tournament, but the team's 20 wins, that's a mark for the most wins of any team in this program history. Radford also put up 60-plus points in both their quarterfinals and semifinal games before Presbyterian held them to just 37 in this one. So
their defense is playing well.
And the Blue Holes finished the game with a 15-point streak while holding the Highlanders to none. Turning what was a tight affair into this lopsided margin that you see right there. So we will see what happens. ESPN, Sunday, March the 17th. St. Patty's Day should be fun. 8 o'clock, tune in, find out where the Blue Hose and the Gamecocks ladies end up going. And, guys, let's talk about the ladies because Cordosa hits a huge three-pointer in order to make it to the championship game, and then they get the rematch with LSU. How big was that three-pointer? Because that was a chance where, you know, Tennessee, this is the third time.
Had the game won.
You saw the reactions on the faces. You set me up, dude. Because I was thinking when you said she crashed it, and she crashed that three-pointer, I thought she meant we were talking about yesterday. But anyway, we'll get to that in a minute. But I wasn't expecting it, Stan, to be honest with you. That's the last person I thought was going to throw a three up to win that game.
Well, I'll agree. But Carolyn Peck, one of the girls off the SEC Network's coach, you know, she made the comment that at that point, everybody on the court's a shooter. Okay, so you've got to defend. You can't just step in there and let anybody. I mean, yeah, she's 6'7", but she's also first-team All-American, first-team SEC. I mean, the girl's known for her defense and her rebounding and the little putbacks around. But guess what she does every day in practice? When they're shooting three, she's out there shooting them. And you watch the form that she had on that shot, she might as well have been a 5'10 guard. And the big mistake that I felt like from a Tennessee standpoint, they had a timeout they could have called, which, okay, I can see maybe not calling the timeout. But I got to get one of my bigs. They had enough bigs on the floor. Put a big in front of the girl throwing the ball in. Make it hard for her. Don't let her just stand there and throw the pass across court to Cardoza standing wide open at the top of the key. Now, you may not want to defend Cardoza because you don't think she's going to take the shot. That's fine. But I'm going to put somebody in, make that inbounds throw. You only got 1.1. Make that throw a little bit tougher.
It's turn and shoot. Yeah, you got to put somebody on the inbound.
And she didn't do it. She had all five people, had two people yeah. under the basket. They were going to let Cardoza take the shot. Mm-hmm. And now whether or not the plan was for Cardoza to step back and hit a three, I don't really think that was the plan. I think it was more get the ball and shoot a two.
She looked like inside. She was going to be the one to set the screen is what yeah. she looked like.
Yeah, so. And everybody was looking at that, but she just
which made it an open player.
Moved. Yeah, nobody moved from either team except for Cardoza, and she went and got the ball, turned, and shot.
She was going to be the screener. Yeah. And like I said, as soon as I think it was Breezy Hall on the inbounds, was it?
No, it was Raven.
Raven Johnson. And, I mean, I give her compliments because, like you said, she went to the ball and just was at the three-point line turning and shot it. But like you said, it looked like she was the player that was supposed to shoot that yeah. ball. Mm-hmm. And like I said, they asked her if she was nervous about shooting. She said, I shoot a lot of balls. I mean, just because I'm, you know, 2 inches behind the line, I'm not usually behind
31 them. 31 feet or whatever.
So, but it was a big win. Like you said, the reaction of the fans, the coach herself was just like, what?
Did that just really happen?
But you know what? You're right. I think Tennessee is going to be a tough team in the tournament. It's a team I think that we may see again come second, third round.
It's going to be interesting to see how the bracket falls out with the Tennessees. And
well, they're going to keep somebody in there with South Carolina. I can promise you that. We're going to be in Columbia, I guess, but they're going. It's just going to depend on who they put there.
Yeah.
So, which they can put Barbie there if they want to. So
get rid of her early.
Well, they won't do that. Know, but
and talking about this team, of course. I'll go back to the week before. You're going to Arkansas, the next to the last game of the year. You've got to go out to Bud Walton in Arkansas. Okay, you're on the road. You're playing a pretty decent Arkansas team. You scored 98. You beat them by 30-something. But then you start looking at the stat line. Out of the 98 points that they scored, the second team, the second five coming off the bench had 64. Arkansas didn't score but 61. That's just a depth. And then it showed up again in the Tennessee game. It showed up again in the Texas A&M game. And it dang show showed up yesterday with Four Wiley going out for 24 off the bench.
Off the bench.
And, you know, and then you throw in what Watkins did off the bench. And just the players coming in off the bench, the Carolina team can score in so many different ways. It's not just the pow-pow and Cardoza show. You better not forget about Bree Hall. You better not forget about Tessa Johnson. Oh, and Raven stepped up and hit a couple of threes, drove to the basket a few times. I mean, there's just too much to defend.
You know? Tom, this is team play right here. And the reason I say that is Four Wally had 24. Papa had 12. Then you got 9, 9, 9, 8, and 6. That's how you score the points they put up on the board. That's almost 80 points. But that's the key to that game. And then on the other side, LSU had some players that were hurt. Little Princess is running around with a hurt ankle with a boot. And then they decided to put a basketball shoe on it. And she got a shot, I'm sure. And Like Stan said, they probably fed her some meds to get her to where she could play in the game. But that is what I think really cost LSU that game yesterday, because she couldn't go 100%. And without Angel Reese, that's a tough ask. And you got kids that, you know, I mean, Van List, a senior.
You're going into
Morrow's a freshman.
Well, you're going into the game. LSU went into the game with 8 eligible players. And I think one of those was eligible, but she had been having foot issues and had not been playing because she had some kind
that's
of
Morrow.
Pain in her foot.
Anisha
Morrow. So that knocks you down to 7. And, I mean, and they were talking about it during the broadcast that LSU had something like 3 players that had 30-plus minutes in a 40-minute game. And this is their third game in a row.
In a row, yeah.
And Carolina had 9 or 10 players with double-digit minutes in that game at that point. That means – everybody's resting. Nobody's tired. So
I'll give them credit because they had 2 players with double digits.
Yeah,
2 double doubles. I mean, you had Morrow to 19 and 10, and you had Reese with 15 and 13.
Yeah,
I mean, those are double doubles. We didn't have anybody there, but like I said, we only had 2 players in double figures anyway, and Paul Wally and Pow Pow. But it's players stepping up at the right times, and that's what this team's doing, and that's what makes this team. I'd always been big on Dawn. Well, I've had E. Crow on this year especially because I like the way she's coached. And I think this is a team that you better be ready for defensively.
Can't guard just one person.
No. It's a team. It's a team game, and they want to get out there and play. They want their minutes too. So.
Well, and they're so together as a team. They support each other. They don't have to shoot the ball. They're happy with an assist. You know, they're getting their giving high fives on assists coming down the floor, whether it was on a 3 or an inside ball to 42. The out-of-bounds play that they had yesterday where they had like 2-point-something seconds on, they throw the ball into Raven. 2 LSU players go to Raven. She just drops it over their head to
I know you're talking about.
The other – one of the big guys, not – Yeah, and she just turns around and lays up a little nice little 3-foot jump shot all by herself. I mean, it's just the togetherness of the team. And, you don't go 32-0 without having a little bit of luck. And that was the Tennessee game Saturday. But Dawn, even in her post-game interview, says, you know, we're where we are today because of the conference we play in and the teams that we have to play. And, you know, big-time players make big-time plays in big-time games. And she don't just have one. She's got 10, and she's proved it. I mean, Cordoza had the big shot. Then you get a freshman that goes off, didn't play but 2 quarters.
She don't want to play but 2 quarters.
Yeah, I mean, and scores 24 points. And it's a spark plug, so to speak. She had, but, you know. Yeah.
Well, the effort was unreal. I mean, they would guard her, and they'd turn and look away, and next thing you know, she'd be like a little water bug and over on the outside, ready to shoot a 3. Ball goes to her, and boom, magic.
8 out of 12.
And that's the thing.
Out of 12 shooting.
She can shoot the ball. She can shoot the 3, but she's better at driving the ball. The moves she's got when she's driving, I don't see how she gets through the trees. She's not that tall of a girl. I mean, she might be 5'10". But on the floor yesterday, she looked like a midget.
We didn't shoot the ball either well. Let's just say that percentage-wise, we didn't shoot it well. 4 for 11 for Pow Pow. Bree Hall, 50%. 4 for 11 for Raven Johnson. We're not even 50% shooting the ball. I think it was 37% yesterday. But it's defense and winning games. So, you know, can you imagine when this team does start hitting 50% of their shots? Look out whoever you're playing.
They've done it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just like, you know, and – everybody knows they're capable of hanging 100 on you, so you better be careful. And
I don't even want 100 no more. She's happy.
We've seen her in games. Tell them not to. You know, we're not scoring anymore. That's enough's enough, girls.
I can tell you this: if they play LSU again, they'll score 100 on them. I can tell you that.
SEC All-Tournament team was full. Wally Cardoza, also Felicia Johnson, who Cardoza knocked down, or reason she's not playing in the first game, from LSU, Angel Reese from LSU, and Rekia Jackson from Tennessee. So
really good player. Rekia Jackson's going to – she's the first time ever two freshmen on that list is full Wally and Jackson. So congratulations to them.
Also want to say congratulations to the Lander men's basketball team. Unfortunately, the regular season comes to an end with the Peach Belt Tournament. They get knocked out by Columbus State. That is there. But the good news is they're going to be in the NCAA tournament. And when you look at the rankings, I think I've got them here. Ladies didn't make the tournament. The guys, however, did. And when I look to see... I think they got Lincoln Memorial.
They do.
So he's going to be their next opponent.
Omar's team.
Yeah. He was an assistant at Lincoln Memorial for so many years.
I wonder if that was done on purpose. that would be just like the NCAA to do something.
If he didn't ask for it. He likes the challenges. But Tom, I mean, it's just not Lander. I mean, I look down, there are a bunch of South Carolina teams that are going to be going, as we can say, in March, they're dancing. It may not be in the big one, but they're going. And, I mean, South Carolina's going to be well represented in all of these NAIAs.
Well, USC Aiken is one of them. They're going, there'll be a two seed on that same side that Lander's on.
Yeah, they were pretty strong in the tournament. Of course, they got to host it anyway because they beat Lander, but... Yeah, I still don't understand how that happens like that. We need to change that one.
Yeah, and Benedict is an 8 seed.
Benedict, and that's a team you better look out for, too. That's what I'm saying. South Carolina's going to be represented. So maybe not by your Lady Tigers, but I think Clemson's going to do
it. Don't even take me there. That was just, I've been sick all week, and you bring that up.
I'm trying to think you might want a new coach or something. I'm trying to get you thinking about a new coach. That would make his day. If he were to fire her today, I guarantee you, he would go on and probably run a marathon with Corona on his leg. But, yeah, I was disappointed in the way they played the ACC. I'm not going to lie to you. They played a buzzsaw and they got beat. But that was a good tournament. I know you watched the SEC tournament. I didn't get a chance. I watched mainly the ACC, and I watched Caitlin yesterday with Nebraska. Another game they should have lost, and they came back. And she showed me yesterday that she's a good enough player. With the stuff that she does at Iowa, but she's got a team with her. It's just not her. It's that team that won that game yesterday.
Well, she's one of those players that she gets a lot of calls called her way.
Oh, we won't talk about
that. We're not going to go there. But
and I'm trying to keep – I took us away from the SEC tournament because of the fight. Because I don't know how I want to address it. Because I know if we start talking about it, hey, I'm going off on Cruella DeVille. just to be honest with you, I've been on her – that's what I've done the whole – last night I stayed on Fox, CBS, ESPN, Sports Illustrated. Everybody want to put a comment about dirtiness on Dawn's team. Nah. All you got to do is go back to Kim Mulkey at Baylor. She's a dirty basketball coach, and that's her mentality with teams. And when she was at Baylor, the same thing, going all the way back to the dude. I can't remember.
Brittany Griner.
We're going to call him Keith Griner because that's probably what – I hadn't seen his ID. But, I mean, that's the way they played at Baylor. And, I mean, I remember Texas. And I'd love for it to be now because, you know, Vic Schaefer, who was at Mississippi State, that Dawn had the problem with before, same issues, trying to come out, cause fights between players and stuff like that. So with Texas coming back into the SEC, that'll be fun with Cruella and Dawn and the rest of the crowd. But, you know, we asked several times, well, why is she resting Cordoza? I guess now we know. And hindsight said, I'm going to have to keep her out one game because she's going to do something that's going to make her stay out one game. But it's not going to affect it, Tom. You won't be affected with the suspension. Suspended for the second round. If you really won't be effective, because we're going to play a nobody probably that first round.
We don't,
It'll be a 16 seed.
And I don't want to get into the fight either, but all I want to say about that is I think the men's game and the women's game is called by the officials totally different. In a men's game, if what had happened in a men's game, somebody might have been teed up, but nobody would have been ejected. But in the women's game, next thing you know, every bench is being ejected. Cardoza's being ejected and put on suspension for one game just because she pushed a player to the floor. Go back and look at the game and see how many bodies hit the floor. Now, it might not have been a double hands to the chest, but it was elbows to the throat and everything else, and it happened all game long. And it, and I don't want to, and I know as a coach, the cardinal sin, good or bad, you don't talk about officials. You just don't do it. And the first thing out of Mulkey's mouth is about officials, and it's almost like she's promoting the fight when she says, "Well, I wish she would have hit Angel Reese like that." No, that's uncalled for. Dawn came out in her post-game interview. I mean, this is right after the game. She made one comment, you know, congratulating the girls, and then the next thing she says is, "I want to apologize. This is not our team. This is not the way we play." And this
well,
is
and she's been an
practice.
Advocate too over the course of what the last 3 weeks, with all the fights that have broken out, as being saying, "Hey, we're better than this. You know, come on, ladies, let's clean it up a little bit." Yeah. And I think for it to happen to her team, you know, she's kind of now saying, "You know, I understand the way the game is going, and that this time around, you know, Cardoza got a little caught up in it. Her actions,
emotions,
pursue what she does."
Yeah.
SEC coaches and presidents and ADs are applauding this because this is LSU.
Well, and two,
they're a bunch of thugs and they do things that way. I'm gonna call it like it is. I mean, I'm not an official; they can't suspend me. But and well, I'm gonna call it like I said. Cruella's always coached like this, and something needs to be done about it. I go back, 2 months ago to Angel Reese choking the girl at Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Nothing's ever been done about that. And it was on TV that she had her hands around.
And there's video out there right now where they're showing Cardoza's hair being pulled in this game yesterday.
Angel did it.
That was twice that she did it, evidently. So
you had the poor trainer spent, at least half the quarter trying to get the nose to quit. What's her name's nose to quit bleeding? Ashlyn Watkins. That's the one. She better be glad didn't knock nobody out, because if you can dunk a basketball, you can knock somebody out. But I don't advocate that kind of
playing.
Well,
the one thing I am disappointed in right now is the SEC. The one fan we know of, we know there were three fans arrested, okay? two for trying to get on the court and one for actually getting on the court. The one that actually got on the court did cause some bodily harm to an SEC official and has been charged with that. I think that goes straight back to the coach, the athletic department, the president of LSU. So that $100,000 or whatever fine for rushing the court, LSU should have to pay that. Or whatever they're up to now. If it's $250,000, $500,000, whatever, make them pay it. It's been a concern all season, ever since the Caitlin Clark incident. Then we went to the Duke incident. And these were players that were getting hurt by court storming. This was, unfortunately, the same thing. It wasn't as many people. It could be one or it could be 500. It don't matter. But we had somebody get physically hurt. And the same person that physically hurt the one person actually got hands on another player. Something's got to be done. Now, he's going to be charged and he's going to have to pay the fines, blah, blah, blah.
That's where LSU probably pays the money right there.
But I think there should be fines to the school, too. And with Mulkey going off on the officials,
I think Mulkey
will
be suspended.
She should be fined. And, I mean, she should know as a coach you don't do that.
Shanky, suspend Cruella, please, for the tournament. She's suspended for the rest of the season.
All right, we're going to get into baseball here in a second. We'll have to really
rush
through.
We got to get to the Clemson men. They disappointed us by going – had a double bye in the back pocket. Only thing they had to do was go into Wake and win the ball game by 1 point. You hadn't got to blow them out. Just win it by one.
Both teams disappointed. I mean, I'm disappointed the Gamecocks
could not
too, but
get it done. Now, South Carolina went into Mississippi State. They needed to win.
Yeah, and they won.
They needed to win to get to get a better placement in
and guess
in
what happened,
AACP.
We still got disrespected. We didn't get the double by either.
You didn't get it.
Even though we finished second in the league.
Yeah, the ACC tournament, you had Wake Forest and Boston College in front of you, along, of course, with North Carolina and Duke that were up there. Mm-hmm. and you go to Wake Forest knowing that you could have that you
double
could
bite.
You could have that spot that Virginia is in right now. You could have it.
You could be there.
And then so you go from a possibility of being fourth to being sixth in the SEC or ACC tournament.
Yeah.
It is big, but you know, it can work out better for you in the long run in this regard, because now Duke, North Carolina, Virginia, and Pitt are going to be the teams that have the double bye, which means they're going to be 2 days, basically 4 days, 5 days, maybe longer, that they're going to sit and not actually play. Clemson's going to get an opportunity to go ahead and get things rolling, and if they get the win, and then they end up going and taking on Virginia on a neutral site, and I think neutral site is the key here for that game between the Cavaliers and the Tigers, because it's not Virginia's home court, and that's where Virginia plays their best basketball.
And I'll agree.
First game was great between those two. Remember overtime game at Virginia? So, game you should have won, you lost. Or no, it was at Clemson. You should have won the game, you lost it by a point. But Wake Forest is the best 19 and 12 team there is. Plus, they're the youngest team in the ACC. They got wins over North Carolina, Duke, every one of these.
And their
teams.
Style is we're playing half court. We're not playing run and gun. We're going to make you play half court.
Hunter Salas is just amazing as a freshman. I had just 22 points in that game.
Well, I still say at 6'10". Coach Brownell, you got to keep your center in the center and paint his feet in the blocks. He does not need to be stepping outside trying to knock down threes. I don't have a problem with him coming out two or three times, but when you've got a 6'10 center and he plays as many minutes as PJ played Saturday and only comes up with two rebounds, that's all he got. And he's 6'10". He's supposed to be your force in the middle, not little 6'8 Shefflin over there.
Shefflin only had 6'2". So.
And Shefflin only had 6. They were getting out-rebounded. That's why they lost the ball game.
One player shot 50% from the field, and that's Chase Hunter.
You've got to get – they play great defense. Clemson plays great defense. They do. But they just do not rebound that well.
Now, they played against a defensive basketball team in Wake Forest. That's what they do.
And a rebounding team.
Yeah, they do well.
That emphasizes it. And I think if you're going to move forward in the big dance, or even in this ACC tournament, you better come out and, PJ, get me double-digit rebounds, and let's see how we do.
I ain't got time. We'll talk about it Thursday.
But yeah, we can look the numbers.
We'll talk about the numbers from that Virginia game. Yeah. I got it somewhere about what he did. The problem with him playing down low and worry about rebounds is where his fouls come from. And that's another reason I think that Brownell is trying to keep him out of foul trouble by not worried about him being the main rebounder. Let Shefflin go in. And Shefflin gets a lot of fouls from going in there and banging with the big boys and stuff like that.
But he gets a lot of rebounds, too, and gets you your second chance.
He does.
I mean, at some point now, PJ is a senior this year. He's played this game for 4 years at this level. Well, he should have learned by now.
Yeah, the thing is Brian Brunell's offense dictates a lot of screens up top and things of that nature, and that's where PJ got caught up with folks leaving him open. I mean, he was 1 of 6 from three-point range, granted, but he was 5 and 6 everywhere else. The two rebounds, other teams are pulling him out from underneath the basket. I mean, they're sending their big guys out to pull him out and leaving the power forwards underneath. So, getting defensive rebounds for him, that's a little bit of a problem there. Do you go to his zone at that point, or do you stay man-to-man? I mean,
you do like and Lamont Parrish did this in a couple of big games. He'd been playing man all game, and he was getting beat in the rebound game. He says, we got to change up. He goes to a 1-3-1. And these teams didn't know how to beat it. They did not know how or where to try to get shots in the 1-3-1. All of a sudden, his rebound numbers go up, and they're winning ball games. Sometimes you have to come out of that man and go to something different. And when you do, PJ needs to be on the blocks, and he should know how to stay out of foul trouble. The way you stay out of foul trouble, you get your feet set and you don't move.
Yeah. Gamecock men, a big overtime win, 93-89 at Mississippi State to conclude the regular season. So, B.J. Mack, Mitchie Johnson, 12 points apiece. you know, 16, I guess you would say, in overtime between the two of them in this regard. And that's your 1-2 factor that we saw that was there, that we've been preaching pretty much all year, that, you know, those two guys, if they can get together and get hot together, this team would be unstoppable.
Another thing we had Studi playing the game. Studi came back from his little tweak to knee. And I think Studi had like 9 points or something. He knocked down a couple of big threes at the right times. Another weapon that you have to be aware of, because he did lead the SEC in three-point percentage, what, 2 years ago, a year ago. Mm-hmm. You got to be ready to go. And Colin
Murray-Bowles
has CMB. Just been, as a freshman, has just been outstanding.
CMB.
In all parts of the game, offense, defense, rebounds, block shots. And just,
I was thinking I had the wrong stats for this game, but I don't. BJ Mack had 25,
yeah.
2-1, CMB 19-8-6. Now that's impressive. 19 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists on 9-11 shooting.
Yeah.
Mack 8-for-11, best game he shot yet. Yeah. Michi was 4-for-16, and that was what Coach said. You ain't got that. You probably don't have that one. But anyway, his press conference was talking about, we got a couple shooters that don't shoot as well as they think they do when they continue to throw it. At that point, you got to take Michi out. He's got 16 points, but 4-for-16, you shoot. That's like, you know, even worse.
Well, and Michi has.
And Zach Davis, got, huge, 13
Zach
points.
Huge, yeah. And Michi has gotten to the point now to where he's seeing that just the threat of him shooting the three ball has helped open up the inside where he can drive to the basket. And picking up a lot of fouls, going to the, so that's why he's getting the double digits in points. He's standing at the foul line some, where he wasn't when he's standing out there shooting threes.
Yeah, Jacoby Wright 1-for-6, so he sat beside Coach, and we're gonna need him in tournament. He's a really big 3-point shooter for the Gamecocks, and Josh Gray's, he's not doing it again. He's back to what he was doing before. And
well, I don't know, Josh is just a junior. We got another year with this kid, and from the first day he arrived on campus to where he is at now, and just the last year under Lamont and his coaching staff, Josh Gray is 100% better now.
Oh, no doubt.
What he was.
An injury was what the problem was before.
So hopefully, you know, he can get his game back on track. But big tournaments both coming up starting this week. I think both Carolina and Clemson play on Thursday. Both of them got that one first round bye anyway, so they get one day of extra rest. But
and that'll help. That will help Clemson, because that's going to give you another team that's right there with basically the same record you got. So you can play something West Virginia. You already know who you're playing. So I don't even know who the Gamecocks are playing.
I don't either. I hadn't seen it. Well, no, they're gonna have. They'll have the winner of.
Oh, they'll somebody. Get the winner of. Yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, they got a winner game coming in, so I don't know.
All right. Well, I want to also say congratulations to Lander Wrestling Program, a second-ranked men's wrestling team. They're going to Kansas, out there to Wichita.
Like last year.
Yeah, last year they went to Oklahoma.
Oh, that's what it was.
Nine wrestlers going.
Nine of them going to
national meet. That's for a school as small as Lander, and you send nine? That's a whole team. I'm sorry. That's how many more you got? Two? Send them all, brother.
Oh, they got one, I'm sure, you in case know, they have an injury.
That's just, and to Chris's point earlier, we see what that the land of wrestling, the success that they have had, we see what it's leading to at the high school level, to where we're having highly, highly competitive at every spot in the high school. You know, from 1A to 4A, it's just been tremendous, and that's we hope to keep that going.
And we need Lander definitely to help keep it going with the high school stuff.
Now, it'll be fun to see how it turns out. We'll follow right along with those nine names as they're going to begin Friday. They'll have two rounds Friday, morning and evening rounds. So we'll know a little bit more and who gets into the semis and then the championship rounds after that.
We'll have to pull it up because, like I said, they'll be wrestling when we come on.
On Thursday.
So, yeah, we'll have basketball. It's going to be Thursday's a huge day.
Well, we hadn't got a message from Dawn saying whether or not the doctor put her on blood pressure medicine today or not.
No, don't ever get on it because you catch the devil coming off, trust me.
Well, she did say she had to go to the doctor today, and he was probably going to put her on some.
All right, well, we'll follow along. Yeah. Also get into men's baseball as both the Tigers and Gamecocks had big weekends. Matter of fact, tomorrow, even bigger. Make sure to tune in as Wake Forest ends up coming in to Coastal Carolina tomorrow afternoon. That should be a fun matchup.
We saw what happened to Michigan coming 18. Down. Yep. Michigan came to Coastal this weekend and got swept. Was it a sweep or just a two
games? It was a sweep, okay. Yeah. They ended up sweeping them. And so, then, you know, Michigan State, they got this weekend as well. So it could be just as ugly.
Those are I'm like you. I almost see what happens again in the Wake Forest. Number one team in the country. I guess they're still number one.
Still number one as of right now. We'll get into Lander and Erskine baseball as well on Thursday because Connor Dozier had another big week and had a huge game yesterday, hitting another ninth in home run in order to give Lander the series win over Augusta in the process of that. So we'll dive into all those groups plus some of what's going on and around the high school aspect. Make sure to join us here from Howard's on Main in Uptown Greenwood. He's Chris Cox. I'm Tom Carroll. The coach Dan Spivey. We are the Lakeland Sports Guys. Enjoy the week.